You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for Live and Direct, thanks to NZ On Air Music. Good God!
For just over 10 years, Pat Krause has been cultivating a body of work that has led him to be hailed as a national treasure by the New Zealand listener, an undeniable sentiment. And when he isn't performing solo, he's playing in a multitude of other groups or collaborations. On Saturday afternoons, Pat helps to create, he helps people create their own DIY synths and effects pedals at the Musical Electronics Library at the Audio Foundation. And he is an omnipresent force within Auckland and New Zealand's alternative music scenes. So it is my pleasure to have Pat in studio to perform some songs as Krause. Good evening.
Hi, Zach.
Hey, it's great to have you in studio.
Thanks.
Why don't we start with a song?
Okay. Thank you.
Pat, what was the name of that track?
That's a really new song that I only wrote last Friday, and it's probably going to be called No Food in the House, and it's about the constant fascinating drama of being poor.
Now, song titles must be important when you're playing instrumental music.
Yeah, they're very important. It's the only kind of way of having sort of literal meaning.
And so do you keep a notebook of...
Yeah, I keep... I have a workbook that I keep ideas and sort of general musical ideas and what I'm working on. And in the back of that, I'll keep a list of titles. And I have, like, on Google Drive, I have a big list that I add to as well. So, yeah.
So was that one... were you particularly hungry when you came up with that one?
That's a title. Yeah, I probably literally had no food in the house when I came up with the title. Yeah, and that's been sitting around that title for probably 2 years or more. And I really quickly needed a title because I knew you'd ask me what that song was called. So I thought that would be nice for that one, yeah.
Is that song so fresh that it... won't make an appearance on your new album, Grip the Moon?
It's not going to be on Grip the Moon, but it's cut, and I'll probably, it'll go on the next record, which I'm hoping will also come out this year, which will be, I'm not sure of the title of that, but it'll be on Monica Records in Chicago. Yeah.
Who you've released with before.
Yeah, I've done two albums with them before, yeah.
How did that relationship come about?
Apparently, Robert, who started Monica, bought my 2010 album, Faster Than the Speed of Time. I just found out that he bought it off Chris Berry of Soft Abuse Records, because I met Chris the other day. And yeah, he just got Robert just got in contact with me and asked me to put something out. So yeah.
And here we are.
Yeah, and yeah, he's done two things and is keen to do another LP for me as soon as it's ready. So yeah.
Very nice.
Oh, actually, and he's reissuing... he's actually reissuing Faster Than the Speed of Time on cassette right basically now, like really soon. So
awesome, could we talk about your new record, Grip the Moon?
Yeah,
how will it fit into your body of work?
I aim to do a major release every 18 months, and like in between I'll do sort of tapes and maybe a single or something like that. So this is one of those kind of major releases that I've been working on for 2 years. It's a little bit, even though I've been working on it for a long time, it's kind of been finalized and put together over kind of a short period of time in sort of December, January. So I don't really have a lot of perspective on it yet. It's kind of an interesting record for me because it's got a lot of stuff on it that I've been playing like really a lot in the last couple of years, and that's kind of unusual for me because I didn't used to play live. So you know, songs that I really think are some of my best, but I feel like I've kind of played them out and I'm ready to kind of move on. So yeah, so there'll definitely be stuff on there that if you've seen me play in the last couple of years you'll recognize, I hope. Yeah,
can we pick up on that point you just made, that you didn't used to play live?
Right.
What was it like? Can you talk about the experience of playing live for the first time?
It involved a lot of therapy. yeah, I mean, obviously I had some performance experience from late 90s, early 2000s. I lived in Dunedin and I played the drums in some bands, played in the Futurians for a year, for example. But when I moved to Auckland, I just kind of focused on my solo thing, and that was just a recording thing, partly because it's been a really it's been a project where I like to explore a lot of different sounds, a lot of electronic sounds and different kind of ways of recording and you know, weird kind of percussion sounds and things like that. And so I just literally didn't really know how to do it live for a long time, as well as having debilitating anxiety. And so yeah, I mean, when I started playing solo at the end of 2013, I had a lot of anxiety to deal with. I remember the first show I did at Audio Foundation, I had to ask Chris Cudby to let me into the room, the gig room in the afternoon, so I could just sit in there and kind of get used to being in there and stuff. But yeah, like now I was saying to someone recently that I kind of don't get anxious before playing now. So yeah, that definitely does reduce over time for people who are just starting.
Oh,
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the guitar that you have in your hands as well?
Yes. Yeah.
What type is it for?
It's the brand is Taisco. It's a 60s Japanese thing that I got. I hadn't been playing guitar very long. I found it, well, my friend Beth Duckling Monster found it in like an antique shop in Dunedin, and it was only $300, and I just got it because it looked amazing. Like, it's a very strange looking guitar with an enormous headstock that kind of looks like an ice hockey stick or something. It's got three really, really fat loud pickups, and it's actually got space for a fourth, and the other ones that I've seen do have four, which is completely over the top. But I just got it because it looked cool, but it kind of turns out it's a nice guitar that was worth more than that, and it's become a real important part of my sound. And I hope it doesn't get stolen or broken.
Oh, totally. Don't leave it in cars.
Okay. Yeah. I've kind of resigned myself to that happening one day, but yeah, I've got a lot of good use out of it. So yeah, it's cool.
And then also in front of us, there's a couple of pedals that look like you haven't tattooed with them.
No.
But there's that orange one.
Actually, no? Everything I'm using, like my normal pedal chain. I have a homemade fuzz, but I didn't need that for what I'm playing tonight. All of these are just commercial pedals. That's just like a weird 70s. It says Overdrive, Ibanez Overdrive, but it's actually a Big Muff fuzz. I don't know. They just kind of
mucked it up.
So there's a Whangarei outsider artist, amazing musician and visual artist called Witsist who sent that to me. It was broken and he sent it to me and gave it to me. And when I fixed it up and first plugged it in, I was like, yeah, this is the coolest sounding Overdrive I've ever heard. Yeah. The next song I'm going to use that. So, yeah.
Well, shall we listen to it? Let's get into it. What's it called?
The song is called Beloved Girlfriend.
All right. There we go.
Thanks.
That one again.
Beloved Girlfriend.
Beloved Girlfriend.
Yes.
Where does that one sit in your work?
So that's from 2010, from Faster Than the Speed of Time.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's on the tape that's about to be reissued.
Yep. Awesome.
Yeah.
Now, I've never seen one in real life, but I've heard of the legend of the Krauss Care Package.
Oh, yeah. It's something that goes back far enough that I had to be reminded that I used to do that. Yeah, Kieran Das reminded me that I used to send real good mail when I'd send CDRs. I used to send CDRs, like I distribute, like, you know, issue and distribute my own CDRs all the time. That's kind of how I used to connect with people before I played live. And yeah, I guess I just send a whole lot of cool junk when I sent those out. I don't remember. That's like, yeah, like over 10 years ago, I guess. Yeah.
It's fantastic. And it's so great that, like, I've... In doing research for our conversation, I've read of a few different people who have received Krauss care packages.
That's cool.
and who still hold on to them because it's really important.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, it's making me realize, like, I do kind of miss that mail contact, actually. Yeah, like everything just being online. I don't actually send out that much stuff to people now. I guess partly that's one of the downsides of releasing things through labels. You kind of miss out on that personal contact.
And everything that I've seen of yours, well, potentially everything, is available online to stream and download for free, right?
Most of it. Yeah
How come?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of a I'm not sure how much to get into it. I mean, I'm a radical socialist, and I think that our life and our society should be based on sharing rather than competition. And so, you know, anything that I'm involved with, I'd like to, as much as possible, kind of create that around me. And that's partly informs the musical electronics library as well. And I mean, that's always an ideal rather than something you can realize all the time. Like, you know, I do release things through labels and sell, you know, sell tapes at my shows and so on. But also, I think apart from that kind of philosophical justification, it just is actually a really good way to distribute your music. Like, I spend a long time, you know, socially isolated, not performing live, and you know, releasing stuff for free and under Creative Commons license is actually just a really effective way of getting your stuff distributed. And the way that I have been doing that is through the Free Music Archive, which is was set up by WFMU as a way of creating like a curated collection of high quality MP3s, partly for themselves and similar stations to play without having to deal with royalty nightmares. And WFMU has always been really supportive of my music, so I wanted to kind of help out in that way as well. Yeah.
Fantastic. How much of your life is taken up by musical pursuits?
It kind of varies, but like at the moment, a lot. You know, for example, at the moment, I'm pretty heavily into recording and writing and starting to get back into playing for the year. So I've got a show coming up on Friday. I just had two shows last week. So yeah, it's really important. Like I have a disability, so I don't have to work like a 9-to-5 job. But I do have a part-time teaching job at AUT. So that like kind of, is one of the things I do. But yeah, music is like really important. And like, recording and traveling now as part of playing live is really important for me. Yeah, it's really good for my mental health.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Can we keep to that point of recording? How do you know when something's done?
Well, that's one of the advantages of working on a four track. I record on reel to reel four track, and having that limitation imposed is really amazing. Yeah, I try to make my life easier. I try to do all of the tracking on the tape, and then I'll do a kind of minimum of editing and stuff on the computer and compile releases. But you run out of tracks pretty fast. You've got to think really carefully about what you put down. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of dodging the real question though, which is about like an aesthetic judgment. And I don't know. It just kind of varies from track to track. Some things I'll have sitting around for years and not know quite whether they're good enough to release or not. And other things, like the song I'm about to play, was one of a rare example of something I wrote and recorded completely in one day. So it just really varies. And just the obvious answer is over time you develop an ability to make that judgment. Yeah.
Krauss, Pat is performing Friday night down at Rec, opening for Orchestra of Spheres. It's $5 on the door. I'll be there. I hope to see you there too. We've got definitely one record, Grip the Moon, coming out.
The tape of it will be out by the end of the week. And Soft Abuse is going to do an American tape issue. And then Krauss and Belgium are going to do probably early 2018. They'll do a vinyl version of it. So it's going to come out in kind of stages like that.
Yeah. Awesome. And I mean, records these days, they have so many different lives.
Yeah. And I like, just cranking out the tape, and then I've got it to sell at shows and like give to people and stuff. So, it's fine. You know, with vinyl, you're going to be waiting for months. You know?
Especially with Record Store Day coming up.
Right, yeah.
Everything's going to be backed up. Pat Krauss, a pleasure to have you in studio to perform for us. So tell us about this last track we're going to hear.
So this is called Ada. This was... written and recorded in 2005, January 2005, I recorded the album Lamentations of an Ape, it was a CDR originally on Foxglove, and it's been reissued a couple of times on tape. So that's all I have to say about it.
Cheers.
Was live and direct thanks to NZ On Air Music.
Hello.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.